Father God, we open up our hearts. We open up our hearts to hear what you have to say. We open up our ears to hear what you have to say. We're receptive to what you have to say. And Father God, I yield myself as that vessel to be used by you, to be used by you. Speak through me. You know what we need to hear, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' precious name, all in agreement say, amen. 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 Are you expecting? You know what? I'm expecting. I mean, it's been a while since we've gotten together. So I tell you, get out your pens. And there's a lot of scriptures. I'm going to make up for lost time, all right? Well, when I was thinking about what to share today, what came to me was just talking about our connection with God. And what my goal is this morning is to, for some of you, you may need to get connected with God. For some of you, you may already be connected, but there is a reconnecting that needs to be done, all right? And I really believe that this is an important message, not only for us as women, but just for the body of Christ, especially the time that we're living in, all right? In John 10, verse 10, and in the King James Bible, it says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Now these are words of Jesus, all right? He's saying this. And then he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, all right? That's the type of life that God wants us to have. Not just be living, you know, not just, you know, be a mere existence and just roaming around doing our day-to-day things, you know. You know, as women, there's a whole lot that we have to do at home. If you work outside of the home, there's a whole lot that you have to do outside the home. If you're raising kids, you know, there's things that you have to do to raise those kids. But it's not just the daily grind. But see, there's help also in that daily grind. But God wants us to live an abundant life. And when I looked up that word abundantly, it means over and above, excessive, abundant, overflowing, beyond, extraordinary, superfluous, which means going beyond what is enough or necessary. I like how it says in the Amplified Version, John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life. I mean, isn't that nice? God wants us to enjoy life. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. All right? And not just enjoy life, but have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. All right? I was reading this one excerpt and they were talking about John 10:10. And this is what this one author had to say about this passage in John 10:10. It was saying that the life described in John 10:10 was a life so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate, a life far above than we could ever envision. I mean, that is good. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible talks about this type of life, and it says, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, aren't you thankful that God has good things prepared for us? Things so that we can enjoy life and have life more abundantly. In Ephesians 3:20, it also talks about this type of life. And the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, that's good. That's good. Now, I don't know about you, but the devil tried to mess with a whole bunch of folk in 2020. All right? Tried to mess with a whole bunch of folk in 2020. But and here, even in 2022, he's still trying to mess with folk. All right? But I believe that 2022 can be a great year for us. But it's like that old saying goes, that if you keep doing the same things that you did in 2020 and in 2021, 2022, there's not going to be a change. Now, I'll also say that for some of us, even though all that stuff was going on in 2020, it affected people differently. Some people were stressed because of what was going on. Some people got into fear. But those that had that connection with God and weren't moved by what was going on in the world, it didn't change their connection with God. They were able to draw on that strength, and even though all this stuff was going on, they weren't moved. All right? They weren't moved. I remember at one of the churches that we attended, there was a song that we used to always sing. It was, "I Go to the Rock." Remember that song? But we just basically sang the chorus about how I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, and in 2020, it seemed like there was a whole bunch of sinking sand because folk were sinking, all right? But when all around me is sinking sand, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all right? And, you know, I really believe that if we remain connected to God, and if we do the things that we need to do to strengthen that connection with God, 2022 is going to be a different year. It's going to be a better year. Even if you had a good year in 2020, I mean, we should be constantly progressing. Each year should be getting better and better and better and better, all right? So I want to, first of all, define the word connect. That way we can be on the same, you know, page. The word connect, a definition that I found, and this is just a dictionary definition, is to join together so as to provide access and communication. To join together to provide access and communication. Another definition is to link to a power or water supply. All right? Now, this definition can also be applied to our relationship with God, and we'll see that when we look at a biblical example of the type of connection that God wants us to have, all right? In John 15, 4 through 5, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, it reads, "Abide in me, and I in you." And once again, this is Jesus speaking. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine." Who's the vine? Jesus. All right, Jesus. "Who are the branches? We are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." All right? So we've got kind of like a little illustration here of what it means to abide and this connection. If you look at a branch, the branch, a thriving branch, is going to be connected to the vine, right? It's connected to the vine because with that connection, that branch is able to receive what it needs in order to thrive, all right? So you can cut something off, like even a flower or something like that, and you can put it in some water, but it's not going to last forever. All right. Why? Because that connection has been broken. All right. So just like in the natural, the branch is connected to the vine. As believers, we are to be connected to Jesus. All right. The word abide in there means to remain, not depart. All right. So that means that That's where we're supposed to remain. We're not supposed to depart. There's not supposed to be a disconnect. All right? And when I looked at a Greek lexicon, it had this to say about the vine. Christ calls himself a vine because as the vine imparts to its branches sap and productiveness, so Christ infuses into his followers his own divine strength and life. All right? So that connection, it gives us access. It's an opportunity in which we can communicate. We're hooked up to a power source, a source of a power, our supply of power, just like your phone. In order for you to hear and talk to people, there needs to be some type of connection. That phone has to be connected to some type of source that's going to enable you to communicate, all right? Our phone, if it dies and it no longer has power, what do we have to do with it? You can't talk with a dead phone, right? No, you got to take that phone and you got to plug it in so that it can get that power that it needs to function, all right? And then when you're done, you unplug it. But unlike us spiritually, you know, some people, they think they're just like that cell phone. They plug in, they get charged up, go to church, get charged up. Then when they leave, they unplug. No, it's supposed to be something in which we're abiding, we're remaining. There isn't supposed to be a disconnect. So in this passage, we see that Jesus is the vine, the true source of life for us believers. We are branches connected to him, drawing that life from him, just like the natural branch draws the necessary nutrients it needs in order to flourish. So our connection is important. It provides access, all right, to all that we need in life, all right? So we can have that John 10:10 kind of life. But see, we can't have that John 10:10 kind of life, that life in which we enjoy life and have it more abundantly if we're not connected to the source of life, all right? You know, life can have a draining and it can have a pulling effect when we give in to the cares of this world. How many of you know that life can... All right. The cares of this world, the things in this world, those things that we're obsessed with, those things that we are preoccupied with. And, you know, this is something that we just have to deal with all the time. How many of you, like you decide you're going to sit down and read the word? And then that's when a thought comes, oh, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this. You know, and you just. It's almost like we got like ADD, attention deficit. You know, we can't keep our attention on that one thing. But you know what? It's nothing but a tactic of the devil. All right? So the cares of this world, they are strategies of the devil to pull us from the things of God. All right? Not to say that the care isn't something that's important, because it can be something that is important. It's legit. All right. Even like with me, like now my kids are all, you know, grown up. So I'm not doing all that hustling and bustling with the kids. But when they were growing up, like Alicia was involved in a whole lot. It was more so the track. And it was like just going from this to this to this to this. And, you know, I was involved in the school and doing all these things in the school. And I even found with me that it was trying to draw me away from the things of God. Not to say that I can't do those things, but when we're doing those things, we have to make sure that we're keeping our priorities set. First things first. I can't be giving all my attention, all my focus to the things in this world and not giving my attention to the things of God. Because really, when it boils down, those things in the world, they are temporal. All right. They are temporal. I mean, yeah, your kid is having, you know, fun. Some of them, they may get scholarships and stuff like that, but they're temporal. They don't have an eternal value. And what happens is that a lot of times we have time for all these other things, but when it comes to the things of God, we have no time. And even if we do have time, we are so drained from all those things that we've been exerting our energy that, you know, we just don't have the energy. All right. So life can have a draining and a pulling effect when we give into the cares of this world. And those cares, they are strategies of the devil to pull us from the things of God. They drain us of strength. They drain us of peace. They drain us of joy. They stress us out. Stress us out, all right? They disconnect us from the things of God. Or they can, all right? Because you can still do those things and still remain connected. But it just has to do with where are your priorities, all right? Are you giving more attention to those things than the things of God? All right. And I'll admit there were a few times in which I was doing all those things, taking care of the cares of this world. And then the end of the day is coming. Oh, man, I didn't even read my Bible. Well, let me open up my word. So I'm giving him the end of the day. Not to say that you have to read at the end of the day, but I made time for all those other things and then give them the end. When you keep things in priority and do first things first, you're going to find that, you know, there's all those other things, they'll come in place, and that you'll have time for all those other things, and it'll just be a whole lot better, all right, when you give God his proper place. So we can't allow the cares of this world to distract us, to disconnect us, to pull us from the things of God. In Mark 4, 18 through 21, in the Amplified Version, it reads, and they're talking about the sowing of the word and the different grounds that that word is sown in, all right? And it says in verse 18, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things. Notice what it says. They creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. All right. Notice it says that they creep in, creep. All right. I looked up that word creep, and it means to move slowly and carefully in order to avoid being heard or noticed. You know, the devil is very subtle. All right. He'll just try and put all these things on you and stuff like that. And knowing that it's going to distract you from the things of God. But our mindset is, oh, you know, but they need me. I can use my gifts. I can use my talents. And like I said, not to say that those things are bad, but we got to take care of first things first. Is it robbing us of all our attention? If we can do that and we're still giving God the attention that he needs, then fine. But if something is giving, it can't be God. It can't be the things of God, all right? So my question to all of you is, what cares, what anxieties have you allowed to creep into your life that are pulling you away from the things of God? What things? What things, all right? Life can also have a draining and pulling effect when we get caught up with the hustle and bustle of life. I tell you one thing, in 2020, when they had the shelter in place, it was kind of a good thing for me because I had to keep my butt at home. Not that I wander all over the place, all right, but I couldn't go nowhere. I could not go to Trader Joe's. I could not go to Whole Foods. I could not see my friends at the Fresh Market. I had to stay home. But one thing that I'm thankful for is that, you know, I took advantage of that time. And I tell you the wonders that it did. I spent more time in the Word. I spent more time praying. And, you know, God, you know, shared some things with me. And there were two things that God had shared with me concerning the sheltering in place for me. First of all, it was to take advantage that, you know, because I no longer had the cares and the distractions of this world. I didn't have no track meets to go to. I didn't have to drop Alicia off at any practices. I didn't have to pick her up. I didn't have any things at the meetings at the school to deal with. And so I felt the Lord was telling me to take advantage of this time. All right. And I did that. And I spent more time in the Word. I spent time in His presence. And then I felt that the Lord was telling me to remember the more time that I had to spend with God in His presence during this time. And why did I have more time? Because I couldn't go to all those other places, all right? Remember what it felt like, how good it was. Remember how nice it was to not have the hustle and bustle of life. It was carefree, all right? So it did a lot for me because it was kind of like a resetting of my priorities, all right? And since then, now I'm not staying at home. I do go out. But my priorities have shifted, that I don't want to lose that connection that I had with Him during the 2020 shelter in place. I want that connection to continue to grow and to go beyond that, because I remember how it felt. It was good, you know, just being in His presence and the Word, all right? So the hustle and bustle of life, you know, it consumes our time and it has a pressing effect. We are living in a, I gotta do this and I gotta do that world. All right? Just running around. Just, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. You know, and some things we do have to do. But it shouldn't be pressing. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be where we're disconnecting from God and just having all of our connection with the cares of this world and the things of this world, all right? The hustle and bustle of life consumes our time and has a pressing effect. There's so much pulling at us. It's consuming our time, resulting in no time for the things of God. And we're becoming drained when we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. It drains us from energy, and we're tired and too tired to do the things and or to even participate in the things of God. Some people, they're so tired and they're doing all this stuff that, you know, they can't even go to church, or they can't. There's a Wednesday night service. Well, I get off work on time, but I'm just so tired and I'm just so drained. But you know what? If you realize what you get from being in His presence, that's where you need to be. All right? When your phone is about to die and you get that warning signal, what do? You don't say, well, I'm not going to plug that phone in. I don't need to plug it in. Well, you don't plug it in, you're going to want to pick up that phone and you won't be able to use it because there's no power. All right. It hasn't been charged. Same thing with us. We got to be charged. All right. They are distractions. The hustle and bustle of life. They are distractions that pull us from the things of God. And we are living in a time where many that call themselves to be Christians, believers, followers, whatever you want to call it, they have time for everything else but the things of God. And that's sad. And you can tell because you're not seeing the fruit in their life. You're not seeing a manifestation of the John 10:10 type of life where they are enjoying life and having it in more abundantly. All right? Yeah, we come to church, we put on the mask. You know, because a lot of times you don't know what's going on in people's life. Because they got a smile on their face, but on the inside they're hurting. All right? That's why it's so important that when, and I'm going to say this here because I may not say it later, that when we are connected with God, and, you know, you spend time in prayer, you spend time in the Word, you may see someone and you can see past that face. And that's happened to me a few times. You know, there was someone and I just sense, you know, they're hurting. And when you're connected with God, a person that's connected, they pray for that individual. I don't have to know what you're going through, but I can lift you up in prayer. All right. And so that's why that connection is so, so important. It's not just to benefit you, but it's to help benefit others, you know, that are around you. All right. So don't allow the hustle and bustle of life to consume you. We got to keep first things first. And when we allow ourselves to be distracted with life, our attention is pulled off of the things of God and onto the things of the world. All right. So some benefits of remaining connected. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, not on and off, stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." So when we remain connected, there is peace. So if you're feeling stressed, then you got to ask yourself, okay, has the connection been severed somewhere? And I find that with myself. Days that I'm starting to feel really stressed or overwhelmed. And see, the devil, he's going to try and use that, trying to get you to the point where you're feeling overwhelmed. But because I'm connected with him, I don't go to that place. Those feelings of feeling overwhelmed may rise up because there may be a lot on my plate. But I don't go there. All right? I don't disconnect from God to deal with all these other things that I have to do. I remain connected. And when I'm feeling overwhelmed, then I know, hey, you know what? I need to go to that rock. Because right now it seems like everything around me is sinking and never fails. I go to him and I get the strength that I need. I go to him and I get the wisdom. And it can be even something that's on your job. There's been times in which I've been stuck. I couldn't figure something out. And, you know, I'll try and, you know, do what I can in the natural. But I've learned not to sweat it. I can't be sweating it. I go to God and never fails. Gives me those witty ideals. Things that can help me with what I'm trying to accomplish. So Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." Perfect peace. I mean, ladies, we need to live in a state of peace. A state in which we're at rest. You know, because we are the emotional barometers of the household. All right? We're the emotional barometers. How many of you heard that old saying that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy? Why? Because mama ain't going to let nobody be happy. That's the mama that's not connected with the Lord. Remaining connected. All right? Because we should not be allowing the cares of this world to affect how we are and how we act. All right? And, you know, they even say, like, from a nursing standpoint, that Like if you're feeding a baby and you're nursing the baby, if the mom is all anxious and wound up, that baby can sense and can sense that anxiety, and it affects the baby's ability to latch on so that baby can nurse. All right. So there is a connection. We do affect. And how many of you want peace in your household? Yeah. But, you know, things happen. People act up. People act crazy. Why? Because we all got flesh. And sometimes we don't, you know, we're not led of the Spirit. Husbands, wives, kids, the dog, right? No, the dogs, don't say that. I don't want people. Yeah, Mrs. Cook was up there saying that dogs can be led of the Spirit. No, I'm not saying that. That's a funny. Ha ha, right? Ha ha, right? But when we get in the flesh, things can happen. When you get in the flesh and you disconnect, because that's basically what get in the flesh is, you're disconnecting from the things of God. When you get in the flesh, you act like flesh. You act like the world, all right? But when you stay connected, you're connected to the Spirit, you're connected to the things of God, and, you know, there is a work that is being done, and you can see the fruit of the Spirit being manifested. Why? Because there is a connection. All right? There's a connection. So perfect peace. In 1 Peter 5:6-8, it talks about, and this is in the Amplified version, in verse 7, it talks about what we're supposed to do for those cares. We're not supposed to be carrying those cares. We are not supposed to be carrying the cares. We are to, in verse 7, it says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Don't carry cares. And I tell you, goes back to what we said earlier about those cares, they kind of creep in and it's subtle. It could be, I remember when I was kind of going through a phase, and every now and then it tries to come back. I'll be leaving the house or it's time for me to go to bed, and the doors are locked, and then I go back to check the doors. Then I go back and check the door again and check it again, carrying that care. You know, I can't hold on to that. I'm doubting myself. All right. So even little things, the devil's going to, he's going to creep in and do whatever he can to distract you from the things of God. All right. So instead of worrying and fretting, we must do what it says in Matthew 11:28. And I like the Amplified version. In verse 28, it says, come to me. Come to me. I'm going to read verse 27, and then I'll read through verse 29. All things have been entrusted and delivered to me by the Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to make him known. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. Say rest, rest. All right. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and a blessed quietness. Funny story, I was looking at some of the old papers that my kids had done, and it makes me kind of wonder, oh my gosh, what was going on? Because on a lot of them, like, they asked the question, what does your mother like? And one of them, I can't remember which one it was, peace and quiet. Peace and quiet. I'm about to think, oh my gosh, what was going on? I guess it was that blessed quietness that I was enjoying, right? All right. It was kind of hectic, you know, with three little ones running around. All right. So don't fret. Don't worry. Instead, we got to do what the Bible says. Take those cares and cast them upon him. In Philippians 4:6-7, this is a scripture that Pastor shared on Sunday when he was talking about the condition of the heart. And I really like the translation, what it says in the Message Bible. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises, now get this, shape your worries into prayers, turning your worries into, you can also put it another way, or something else that you can do is turn your worries into worship. There was a meme that was going around. Turn your worries into worship instead of complaining and voicing and just getting all upset and fretting about what's going on. It says here, shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. How many of you know that when you have that type of relationship with God and you're connected with him, you can let him know your concerns? You can talk to him just like you're talking to your girlfriend. And I want to tell you this. There's some things that we say to our girlfriends that we should not be saying to our girlfriends, and it should be to God the Father. All right? I know we feel like she can understand what we're going through. But the problem that you run into is that once you settle that issue with your husband or whoever you're dealing with, it may not be settled with your girlfriend. She knows everything that you said, and she may look at that spouse or that loved one differently because you've already taken care of it. All right, so you got to be careful. You got to be careful who you talk to, all right? So shape your worries into worries, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. I mean, that's what happens when you enter into his presence and you get in his presence. And instead of carrying those cares, you cast those cares upon him. You're feeling overwhelmed, so you don't want to stay in that place. You want to enter into his presence because there's answers in his presence. There's peace in his presence. There's strength in his presence. And then once you just get into his presence, there's a sense of God's wholeness, that everything's just coming together for good. There's peace. That sounds like peace to me. All right? So when you cast your cares upon the Lord, you let God know your concerns. You don't hold on to your concerns. You let God know your concerns. You get your mind off of the problem and you get it on the problem solver. You know, that's one great thing about praise and worship, because when you praise God, you're praising God for who he, for the things that he has done, and you worship him for who he is. So when you praise and you worship God, you're reminding yourself of how great and how mighty God is, because, you know, whatever you dwell upon, it is going to grow. So if you're focusing on the problems, then guess what? It could be just a little small thing, but you focusing on it causes it to grow. And it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get out of this? But when you start focusing on God and dwelling on him, you see God as being big in your life. He's bigger. There's nothing too difficult for my God. All right. So it settles you down. When we remain connected, there is a place where we can go to when we are feeling overwhelmed. In Psalm 61, 1 through 2, in verse 2, it says in the Amplified Version, when my heart is overwhelmed and fainting, lead me to what? The rock that is higher than I. And, you know, this rock, it's a place of security, all right? It's a place where you're going to be safe. It's not like sinking sand where, you know, you're standing on the sinking sand and it's like, oh gosh, you're going to be sinking. No, it's solid. It's a place of security. So God, he's going to lead us, but we have to do our part, and we've got to listen to what he is saying. You know, God's going to speak in a small, still voice. And that's why it's so important that we remain connected with God, because I find that, you know, if I remain connected as I go about my day, I may be about to do something or just something. I just get this knowing on the inside that, you know what? No, don't say that. Do this. But see, when you're connected to God, God can talk to you. All right. Have you ever had like where your phone with a connection isn't all that great and you can't hear the person on the other end? Hello? Hello? You know, sometimes I run into that problem, been having an issue. I put my earplugs in. Yeah, I still use earplugs. Plug it into my phone, and sometimes it's affecting the connection, and I'm not able to hear, and it's all choppy and everything. When there isn't a good connection, you can't hear what's going on. You might get part of the message, and you don't get the other part. All right, so you want that connection to be intact. All right, so we can't allow the cares of the world, the hustle and bustle of life, things to draw us away from God where we're no longer connected to him, all right? So feelings of feeling overwhelmed, you feel like you can't make it, you can't take it, you feel like it's too much, there's too much going on, you feel like there's no strength, physically and emotionally. Those are feelings of being overwhelmed. And what does the Bible say? That, you know, when our heart is overwhelmed and fainting, lead me. He's going to lead us, but are you going there? So when these feelings come, remain connected to God. Listen and follow God. Don't stay in that place. Don't stay in that place. That's why they say, you know, people that are depressed, they need to open up the windows. They need to get up. They need to allow the light to come in. But so often when you're feeling depressed, and if you just give into those feelings, you're not going to want to go anywhere. And see, the devil doesn't want you to go anywhere, because he knows that if you get out of that place and you step out of that place, if you're not connected, you can. That's why he doesn't want folk going to church. And some people, they're sad and they're feeling bad and they're feeling overwhelmed. Well, church is the place that you need to go, because you can connect to God. If you're volunteering, you're around other volunteers, and if they're connected to God, if you happen to be disconnected, they can help get you connected back to God, help stir you up. But see, the devil doesn't want that. He wants you to remain disconnected. All right? So when we are connected to God, he can infuse us with inner strength. Philippians 4, 13. In the Amplified Version, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him. You know, we can take 2022 and be women that are ready for anything, anything. I saw some little meme, and they were talking about 2022, and they had a door that had the sign 2022 on it, and the people were on the side like this with a stick trying, you know, opening up the door like they were afraid. That doesn't sound like they're ready for anything. You know what? Bring it on. You know, because if I remain connected with God, it doesn't matter. The devil can try and do whatever he wants to do, but I'm not standing on sinking sand. I am standing on that solid rock. Amen. He is the rock of my salvation. He's a strong tower, a place of refuge. All right. I don't have to walk around in fear. But see, when you know who you are in Christ, and we're going to get in, you know, to that just a little bit, it's important that we know who we are in Christ. All right. You got a different attitude. All right. You got a different attitude. I remember my niece was at our house, just a wee thing. And you know how boys can be messing with people, right? My boys were messing with her. And I remember, I can't even remember what was going on, but I do remember these words she said. I'm not afraid of you. You know, that's an attitude that we need to have when the devil tries, you know, doing whatever he wants to do. I'm not afraid of you. But see, you're not afraid of him when you know who you are in Christ and you know your authority as a believer. All right. So he infuses us with inner strength and we're self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And I think that's a big thing. Sometimes we think we got to do it all. It's all about me. It's what I can do. Showing the world that, you know, I got all this together. No, my sufficiency comes from being connected with him. All right. I'm sufficient because of him. All right. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the Amplified Version, it says help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. But sometimes when we're in a tough situation, a lot of times we completely forget, you know, about going to God. You know, some people, that's their last resort. Well, I guess all we can do now is pray. No, well, that should have been the first thing. All right? Don't disconnect as you go through life. When we are connected, we are empowered to do what we need to do. In Ephesians 6:10, in the Amplified Version, it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. Strong in your ability? No, strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union. That sounds like a connection. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Okay, I can't do life alone. I can't. I need God's help. I need his strength. Pastor had preached a message before about hacking our way through life, and he used the letters to the word hack, which is so, so, so important. When you hack your way through life, you realize that apart from God, meaning you're disconnected from God, you H, have nothing, A, you are nothing, C, you can do nothing, and K, you know nothing. But connected and being a part of God, you have all those things. All right? You are something, not because of me. You can do. You know. Why? Because I'm connected to him. All right? We're connected to him. You know, we can't be the women that God has called us to be, disconnected from God. All right, so some practical things that you can do. Very simple. Simple is not new revelation. But the thing is are we doing it? All right? Spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. It's amazing how many, you know, people that the only time they spend in the Word is when they go to church. For some people, that's the way it is. All right? You know, we have to make time in the Word our priority. And you're not going to find the time. You've got to make the time. It's got to be a priority. And really, you know, we're living in a day in which there's really no excuse. You know, a lot of people have smartphones, all right? And, you know, smartphones, you can have all these different apps on them. The number one app we should have is the Bible app. So there's no excuse. You know, a lot of times I'll go walking and I'll have my phone with me and I use that as an opportunity where I can listen to the Word. Listen to the Word. All right. And then just reading the Word on your own, having your own little private Bible study on your own. Right now I'm going to be starting a little study on my own on the believer's authority. because I just feel that, you know, we're living in a time in which I need to remind myself of the authority that I have as a believer. All right. So that's something that I want, you know, to start, you know, the in him realities, knowing who you are in Christ. You know, Brother Hagin has a small mini book, just a small one, in him. And it goes over the in him realities, you know, getting the word on the inside of us. All right. It's not just, you know, reading the word just to say that, hey, I went through the whole Bible. And it's good to be able to go through the whole thing, because then you can see how the different things relate to one another. And you can see, you, actually, it just shows how awesome God is. Wow, they talked about that way over here, and here it is over here. How everything just comes together. I've tried going through the reading of the Bible using one of those plans and was just never successful. I got behind and I got into bondage and stuff like that. But now I have in my heart that I want to do it again. And what I'm doing is, and so far it's turning out pretty interesting. I'm following the chronological, and it is so neat seeing the stuff as it progresses. So I'm looking forward to that, but that's not my only study. I'm reading the word on my own. I'm listening to the word. Why? So that I can have that word on the inside of me. When I was getting ready this morning, what came to me is, as far as us as being women, that, you know, we don't want to be wimpy women. Women that don't know who they are in Christ. But see, when you know who you are in Christ, you're wonder women, all right? People look at you and they'll just start wondering, well, who does she think she is? Yes, we know who we are in Christ. And when you know who you are in Christ, you can walk with authority. You know, you walk like a boss lady. Yeah, I'm in charge. I'm large and in charge, not because of me, but because of the one that I serve. So the word, spending time in the word is important, ladies. In John 6:63, it says, the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God, I was about to say, where's my Bible? The word of God is filled with words that were inspired by God. It's filled with life. All right. It's filled with life, but we've got to open it up, or we got to open up the app. We got to do whatever we got to do. But, you know, I tell you, if you don't have an actual Bible, you need to get one, because when you're just relying on the phone, if the power goes out or the service goes out, then I am disconnected from my source of power, my source of life. One time when there was a hurricane going on and they said, put all your valuables in a plastic bag, I made sure I grabbed my Bible and I put it in a plastic bag, because I need to make sure that this does not get messed up. All right? So you need an actual Bible to have on hand. You can use your phone, but you still need to make sure that you actually have a Bible, because if the power is out, I want to still be able to have access to what the word says. All right? Prayer must be a lifestyle. A lot of people, they just use prayer as a button, all right? A button that they just push. If they need something, they just push it and, all right, Lord, you know, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. You know, they just push the button whenever they need something. But no, prayer is actually a relationship. And it flows out of that relationship. And you're going to find that as you spend time in the Word and you get to know God the Father, and you get to know Jesus, and you get to know the Holy Spirit, His precious Spirit, that it's going to affect your prayer life, because it's the Word that fuels your prayers, all right? And when I am praying what the Word says, I can have assurance, I can have confidence that what I am saying and what I am believing God for, that I can hold on to that, because God said it. And if He said it, that settles it.
All right? So prayer must be a lifestyle, and it is something, it's not a button to be pushed, it's a relationship to be pursued. So I want to encourage you all to pursue that relationship. All right? Make prayer a goal for 2022. If it wasn't something that you were doing, 2022, you need to do it. Develop a prayer life, and it's something that you have to develop. And I've seen how I've grown over the years and how my prayer life has developed. Back in the day, you know, Pastor shared how, you know, like when the kids were little, that, you know, we would just pray as a family at the end of the night. And if someone was spending the night at our house, you know, they were a part of the circle of prayer. One time, Philip Slaughter had spent the night, and because he was ministering. And so at night, we didn't change our routine. And we had a certain order that everyone did. I can't even remember the order. I think Pastor ended it or whatever, but we all had our order, and then we'd squeeze whoever was there, they would pray. But see, what were we doing? It gives you an opportunity to teach your kids, and they're hearing what we're doing, all right? But, and that prayer is important. So you want to develop your prayer life and take advantage of opportunities to learn how to pray, because I do believe that this is something that you have to learn. Now, I will say this. I don't hook up with everybody that has a prayer group. I don't listen to everyone that is talking about prayer. I have certain people that I will listen to because, see, I don't want to get involved in false doctrine. You know, there are some churches in which the areas in which they've had big problems is in the music department and in the prayer. All right? But prayer is important. If you can attend the Living Faith Crusade that's starting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday, 10:30, it's the Lynette Hagen does the little prayer session. I tell you, there's a lot that I've learned about prayer by just watching and listening to those that are a little bit further than me in prayer. All right? If we start prayer school back up, take advantage of that, because you learn by praying. You learn how to pray by praying. And praying, it can be so, for some people, it can be so uncomfortable. But see, if you're at home, nobody else is there. And you can just do like the Bible says, Lord, teach me how to pray. And I tell you, if you have a heart to pray and your heart is open, that God is going to show you how to do it. So just some simple things that you can do is you start where you're at. If you don't pray over your food, and this sounds like really simple, start by praying over your food every time. We should do that anyways, because we don't know what they're putting in this food. But start doing that. All right? We've got the prayer cards. And Lynn has some at the back table that if you don't have one of these, at one time, I was just reading these. I would start off just reading it. Now, you know, once you become more experienced and developed in your prayer, you don't want your prayers to be where it's just rote and you're just reading everything. But you'll find, you know, you're starting where you're at. These are prayers, wonderful prayers that you can pray over yourself. You can pray over your family. You can pray over your loved ones. All right. So start where you are at, and you'll find that the more you do it, the easier it will get and the more comfortable you will feel, the more comfortable you will be. Because like I said, prayer is basically a relationship. And as I get to know, you know, just look at like when you first meet somebody. You know, you may feel uncomfortable. You know, you may not pour out your entire heart to that individual because you don't really know them. But as you get to know God, you know, you'll find that the more you do it and you spend time doing it, that you're going to long for those times. And there's been some times in which maybe I'm at someone else's house and I may not be able to go as in depth as I would do at home. But I still trying to make sure I have my prayer time. time in which I can just set aside and just have that time, just me and God. All right? Be consistent. Develop the habit of praying every day. They say it takes 21 days to develop a habit. I saw this one thing, and this guy was talking about the importance of prayer, and he said that the Muslims pray 5 times a day all their lives as a lifestyle. The Jews pray 3 times a day, their life, 3 times a day, their life as a lifestyle. They do it whether they are happy or not, whether they are under attack or not, whether they are blessed or not, whether they are sad or happy. They just do it. It's a lifestyle. And then the individual asks this question, how many times does the believer pray a day? We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. We had went to the fair, and I was surprised. The Catholics had a booth, and they gave me this bag. They said, we got a bag with some Christian stuff in it. So I opened it up, and I did look at it, and I was, like, really shocked. They had this one book. I can't even remember what it was called, and I was reading off. Some of the stuff was really good. Like, they were talking about how, you know what, you need to go to church. I'm like, okay, some of the saints need to hear that. But then they were talking about praying, and there was something going on, and they said, say the prayer 600 times a day. And so I said that, and Pastor goes, 600 times a day? So we were trying to do the math. How can you get this 600 times a day? Pray without, see, it needs to be a relationship, all right? Constantly talking to God as you go about your day. All right. Proverbs 3:5-6 Message Bible says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice. And I like this. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Sounds like prayer. As I go about my day, I'm listening to him. And if I'm listening to him and I remain connected to him, he's going to show me the way. He's going to lead me. He's going to direct me. All right. But there has to be that connection. And as I go about my day, something's frustrating, I talk to God. God, you know what? And you just talk to him like you would talk to a friend. All right. So we must remain connected so we can listen for God's voice in everything we do. All right. Proverbs 3:5-6 Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's that verse in the King James Version. All right. Other thing is that if you pray, if you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you need to be praying in tongues. You need to be praying in tongues. Some of you, it may have been a while since you've done it. You need to start praying in tongues. All right? In Romans 8:26-27, it says, and this is so true, because sometimes we don't know how we ought to pray. And we're living in a time, it's like, you know, because I want my prayers to be right. I don't want to pray contrary to the word, but if you get stuck with that, I don't want to say the right thing. There's some times in which we don't know how we ought to pray. But the Bible says here that when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I'm saying to you all that if you are not filled, you need to get filled. All right? I have some little mini books over here that can give you some information about why tongues, and there's some information in there, and you can read that. That way you'll have the information, because some people, once they have their hands laid on, most of the people, the reason they don't speak, it's not that the word doesn't work. They just, you know, they think that, you know, that the Spirit is going to make their tongue say the words. And so it's a lack of knowledge. So this is to give you information, all right? So if you're not filled, you need to get filled. And if you are filled, you need to be speaking in tongues. We are living in a day. We are living in the time in which we got to remain connected. And I tell you, when you remain connected and you're speaking in that heavenly language that God has given you, God can lead you. He can direct you. There's things that you can avoid because you're connected with him. But if you're not connected to him, he can't lead you. He can't direct you. All right? So the Spirit can make perfect intercession. And then the other practical thing that we need to do is just responding to the things of God. Because see, you know, we come to church, like here, you all came here. And I trust there were things that you've received, but you got to respond to it. What can you take away from this? What is the goal that you can write down that, you know what, this is something that I need to work on? All right. I used myself as a vessel. All right. Respond to what God said to us today. What is your takeaway? What can you do? Have ears to hear each day what God has to say every day, and then do what he says. It's not going to do me any good if I'm connected with God and then I have this kind of unction on the inside, this knowing or this sensing on the inside that, no, don't say that. And I just go ahead and say it anyways. When I knew that something on the inside was saying, don't say that, and yet I said it anyways, that's not responding, all right? Responding is you hear and then you do what you hear, all right? John 10:27, King James says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. In the Amplified Version, it says, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice. And that word hear means to accept, to listen and respond. All right? Listen and respond. We need to not just be hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of the word. All right. So in closing, what I want you all to do is I want you to think of a goal. We said a lot today. So think about what's one thing that I can do in this new year, 2022. What's one thing that I can do so that I can remain connected to God? All right. It may be in the area of reading the word. It may be in the area of prayer. It may be in the area of responding to God. And, you know, what I want you all to do is I want you to write it down so you guys can take my little cord with me, my leash. I like this. I can walk all over the place. All right. So y'all take a pad, take a sheet. There's a pen. Write it down. You're not giving this to me. This is for you. All right. Write it down. If you don't have a pen and you can just pass those, take one and pass it on. And you want to write down what's one thing that I'm going to work on? What's a goal that I have? All right. That I can do for this new year, so that things can be different, all right? And write that down. Like I said, it could be regarding your connection. It could be strengthening your connection. And you want it to be a goal that is realistic, something that you will actually do. You don't want to say, all right, that you're going to pray for an hour every day. Because most folk, they're not going to accomplish that goal. You know? So you want it to be something realistic, something that you can actually do that's achievable. All right? Just write that down. If you can't think of anything right now, sometime today, I want you to do that. All right? So we've talked about a lot of things, and my main thing with you all is that I just wanted to encourage you all in the area as far as being connected with God, that your connection with God, it is vital. As you do life, don't disconnect from God. Remain connected. Reading the word, praying, responding to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you are all important in us as far as being connected with God. Amen.